Pastini is Eugene's new Italian bistro at Oakway Center, dedicated to serving up two of life's greatest pleasures, pasta and wine. Join them for classic favorites like spaghetti and meatballs, linguine with clams and sausage, and fettuccine alfredo paired with hand-selected Pacific Northwest and Italian wines. Pastini. Eat pasta. Drink wine.
Welcome to the Duck Pod. From the Register Guard newsroom, here's Ryan Thorburn and Austin Meek.
All right, Austin, we are back, and the regular season is over. Oregon finishes 8-4 after a 55-15 win over Oregon State in Corvallis. Back-to-back blowout civil wars for the Ducks with Willie Taggart last year, 69-10, and now a big 40-point win for Mario Cristobal. We're going to get into looking back at our preseason projections and what went wrong.
Oh, no.
And some of what went right. But before we do that, just your thoughts on the Civil War.
You know, if Mario Cristobal could script a game in his wildest dreams, aside from the part about his starting quarterback getting hurt, I think it would look a lot like the Civil War. To be able to run the ball on, 35 of 37 snaps in the second half, that is a Mario Cristobal kind of game right there. I'm not sure you can do that against many teams aside from Oregon State. Oregon State's run defense is historically bad, but give Oregon some credit for identifying the weakness and taking advantage of it.
And I know people are still upset with Willie Taggart for leaving, but has anyone got more mileage out of one quote than Oregon did from the Corey Hall raincoats?
The raincoats.
Quote. That's 2 years in a row they have absolutely dominated this game, fueled by an interim head coach's comment that they, in 2016, had their fancy raincoats on while Oregon State was running the ball down their throats.
Those raincoats have won Oregon two games now, so they should send somebody at Nike a Christmas card for making them those fancy raincoats, because those raincoats have played a central role in two blowout civil wars.
Yeah, and you know, credit to Oregon. You need something to get motivated when your rival's down and your rival's struggling, and they have really fired up for that game. And as I mentioned, that's the eighth win of the season for Mario Cristobal, which is a good segue, I guess, into our preseason prognostications. We could talk all day long about the Civil War, but let's move on.
Survey the damage here.
It's over now, and poor Jonathan Smith has a lot of work to do. So let's go back to August 15th. We laid down a podcast where we looked at the over-unders for all the Pac-12 teams and guessed whether they would go over or under. Based on my calculations, 11 of those results are in with one pending, and I think you're 6-5 and I'm 5-6, so we're batting around 500, but we had some moments of brilliance and some moments of pure, we don't know what we're talking about.
Maybe I'll have to go back and find that podcast. Maybe I can splice in some of our hilariously bad takes.
Yeah, I listened to it as prep for this podcast, and let's start with Oregon. The number we used was 8.5 as an over-under total. What do you think you said? And then I'll tell you if you were wrong or you were right.
I think I've said over on Oregon.
Yeah. We both said over. I'm surprised that I went over, but I guessed I was fired up about fall camp at that point, 11 practices in. I said over. I said 9-3.
I did too.
And looking back at when I was talking about it, I said obviously they'd be 3-0. And I did say Stanford would be a toss-up game, that they'd probably lose to Washington. Obviously wrong, but I said Stanford was the key game for both teams, Oregon and Stanford.
I guess that turned out to be correct. If they'd beaten Stanford, if they had not fumbled when they had the lead in the last minute, they would have beaten Stanford and maybe gotten to that magic number.
So if you were scoring at home, we're both 0-1, although on a technicality, I know bowls don't really count in that, but Mario could get to a ninth win with a bowl victory this year.
Okay.
So then let's move on to the Beavers. They were 2.5, as in over under 2.5.
Did I go under on that?
And we both went under 2.5.
Cha-ching.
And the Beavers are, in fact, 2-10. So we were prescient on that. Except you said Oregon State's best opportunity for a Pac-12 win would probably be against Washington State.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to dredge up a lot of very bad takes from me on Washington State, because I was so, so wrong about Washington State this year.
Well, I said their best chance for a Pac-12 win would be against Cal, and Wilcox came into Corvallis and just wiped the floor with the Beavers,
so
not good on that one either. Okay, the Fighting Chip Kellys were projected to win 5 games by Vegas. Did you go... What do you think you went on that?
I think I went under. I will give myself a small degree of credit for... I think my preseason prediction about UCLA was pretty spot on.
Exactly. You voted the Bruins last in the South Division, which
I did.
They were hovering around there. The Buffs were last, but you went under 5 for Chip Kelly. They were 3-9, I believe. I went over, and my quote was, "Chip Kelly will find a way to get to a bowl game." He did not.
He did not.
I was projecting a little better non-conference effort. They lost to Cincinnati and Fresno State at home, so that didn't help. And it took them a while to find the right mojo on offense. But
if UCLA had played the whole season the way they played the last month or so, they probably would be a bowl team. They look like by the end of the season, they played Stanford tough. They beat USC. I mean, they were a solid middle of the pack team by the end of the year, but just the bad start really cost them.
All right, good segue to the Trojans. They were 8.5 in Las Vegas before the season, and we both got this one right. We said under 8.5.
I'm surprised I said under on that, because I think I picked USC to win the South. But
yeah, you said they're my team in the South, but still under. They had that tough non-conference road with games against Notre Dame and at Texas. I said, quote, "I'm not sold on Clay Helton."
Well, there you go.
But apparently their administration still is.
You are not. Maybe you should be the USC AD.
So, I had under 8, and they are 5-7 and not even bowling.
Not even close on that one.
Utah was 7.
Wow.
7 wins for Utah.
I assume we both said over?
We both said over.
Yeah, that was easy money.
Your quote was, "This is my strongest pick so far."
Yeah.
And you're right. And it looked a little dicey when Oregon was heading into Salt Lake City. Credit Kyle Whittingham. He's the, last 3 or 4 games of the year coach of the year.
Yeah, if you would have said Utah loses its starting quarterback and starting running back in November and still hits the over on that, that's pretty impressive.
And one of my, things I actually got right, I picked Utah to win the South. And I predicted they would play Washington in the Pac-12 championship game with at least an 8-4 record. So thank you, Kyle Whittingham. And that moves us to the Huskies, the preseason Pac-12 favorite. And Las Vegas had them at 10.5 wins entering the season.
I think I took over on this, which was a mistake.
You did have them at over. And I had them at under. I said I think they will be 10-2, with a loss possibly to Auburn, and then I said they will lose either at Utah or at Oregon. So I
1-2,
kind of called the Ducks' biggest win of the victory, but win of the season. But
boy, that Auburn loss doesn't look very good for Washington.
No, it really doesn't.
If they had just won that game, then they would be at least on the borderline of the playoff conversation. They wouldn't be in, but they would have been much more relevant this year.
It's interesting watching Rob Mullins every week on the College Football Playoff Selection Show, and he's never asked about his own conference.
Yeah, no reason to.
Which takes us to Washington State. the only team that was really relevant in those rankings until this week. Washington State's over-under in Las Vegas was 6.5 wins this season for Mike Leach.
Yeah, boy, that was... I was epically wrong about them.
Yeah, you mentioned they had a manageable non-conference schedule, but, quote, way under. If I were a betting man, I would bet a lot on the under.
Which I guess tells you why I'm not.
So I'm glad you didn't place that bet.
Yes.
I predicted they would lose to Wyoming. They did not lose to Wyoming. I just said too much rebuilding. But Mike Leach could prove us wrong by getting a quarterback off the street to throw for 4,000 yards.
Boy, so that was that right about is, that. That is almost like a psychic level prediction.
I knew I guess. They had Gardner Minshew. I did not know anything about the mustache.
No. But boy, we found out, though.
So Arizona is another one that before the season we really got wrong. They were 7.5. Over under, I thought that was low. In fact, I said definitely for sure over. And the Ducks don't play well in Tucson is the only thing I got right about Arizona.
What did I say on that one? I don't even remember.
You said you liked their crossover schedule and that it broke well, and you would take the over.
Hmm. Yeah, I was wrong about that. You know, I did a column this week of kind of handing out some phony Pac-12 awards, and actually. I have Kevin Sumlin as the biggest underachiever this year in the Pac-12, even more so than Clay Helton, I think, because only one of those coaches had a preseason Heisman Trophy candidate coming back at quarterback. Helton had a true freshman. Sumlin had Khalil Tate, and the regression of Khalil Tate, I think, was one of the most disappointing storylines for the Pac-12 this year. For a guy who rushed for like 1,400 yards last year, he had like 200 this year. I mean, they completely misused Khalil Tate. It sounds like now he might transfer. They still had a chance to get to a bowl and blew a big lead against Arizona State. Just a really, really disappointing season for Arizona outside of that one magical night in the desert against the Ducks.
And there can be only one territorial cup winner every year, and that winner is Arizona State. Herm Edwards was picked to win 5 games before the season, and we both took the under.
I took the God. I'm mad at myself for taking the under because I, if you dredge up that podcast, I think I probably said something somewhat hopeful about Herm. So I'm surprised
you did. You said it's easy to make fun of Herm. But he has some nice pieces coming back in Manny Wilkins, N'Keal Harry, and the schedule is why you took the under. They had a very difficult schedule. I don't think we foresaw them beating Michigan State and others.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Herm's first season, beat Michigan State, beat USC, win the Territorial Cup. You're in the hunt for the South.
Beat Utah. Yeah,
beat Utah. You're in the hunt for the South with 2 weeks to go. And I don't think that they lost a game by more than 7 points. I think all of their losses, unless I'm forgetting one, up to the Oregon game, and the Oregon game was they lost by 2. So I don't think they lost a game by double digits. That's fairly impressive.
Yeah, they were getting blown out by Arizona and then had a masterful comeback with the help of Arizona. I really owe Herm Edwards an apology. My quote was, way under. I have the Sun Devils with 2 wins. I don't think this experiment will work. So, Herm. I'm sorry, Herm. I'm happy for you. Enjoy the Sun Bowl or wherever you guys go. Great first season. Now, I'll be interested to see how they replace those pieces that you mentioned. But
yeah.
Really a good start for Herm Edwards in college football again.
Yeah. Is that all 12? No, we're not.
No, we have next up is Cal.
Bay Area.
Only 5.5 wins were projected for the Bears.
I forget what I said about Cal.
You said over. This is an under-the-radar team. Nice prognostication for you.
Yeah.
I said under. Sorry, Justin. As in Wilcox. He's done a great job this year.
He has, yeah. You know, if there's a 1A and 1B for Pac-12 Coach of the Year, maybe 1A, B, and C. A is Mike Leach. I think B and C are Justin Wilcox and Herm Edwards in some order. to me, the remarkable thing about Cal is they have a chance to win 8 games, and their quarterback play has been totally inconsistent. It's so hard to win in college football if you don't have consistent quarterback play. So for Cal to be playing for an 8th win against Stanford this weekend without consistent quarterback play is pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, what does Cal have a good medical school? Maybe Herbert could graduate and go play for Wilkins. I'm just kidding, Ducks fans. But they are tight, and they're both good members of the Pac-12. Let's move on to Colorado. 4 wins projected for the Buffaloes entering the season.
That it's surprising to me. I've forgotten their number was that low. For them to have the season that they did and still go over is surprising to me. I probably said over on that because, wow, 4 is a low number.
Well, you had this right and wrong. You projected the over, and you said, if they go under, that's it for Mike McIntyre. And, it was it for Mike McIntyre, yeah. And they still went over with 5 wins. The problem was they were 5-0 and ranked 19th, I believe, in the poll,
yeah.
And they finished 5-7, and I was also half right, half wrong. I said over, but the Buffaloes will go 6-6, and they will go to a bowl game. They are not.
How different is Colorado's season if they don't blow that game to the Beavers? I mean, that would have been win number 6, and I just have to think they would have found a way to win another game or two somewhere in there. Mike McIntyre is probably still the coach. That Oregon State loss, I think when Mike McIntyre looks back on his tenure at Colorado, that's got to be the one that haunts him, because that just completely deep-sixed the season for the Buffs.
It's hard to explain. You're up 31-3 against a team that hasn't won on the road in years, and you cough that up. Not only do you cough that up, the Beavers come back, fight back, tie the game, and they need an extra point to win in regulation. They miss the extra point.
Yeah.
And you still don't beat them.
You know what that game was? That was McIntyre's Dan Hawkins game.
Yeah,
that was the equivalent
really was.
Of, you know, Dan Hawkins losing to Kansas, blowing a game against Kansas, and getting fired soon after. That was McIntyre's Dan Hawkins moment.
Yeah, when you come off the field for your post-game radio show with KOA and the play-by-play guy says, "What were you doing?" That's your last game.
Yeah, that's when you know.
That's what I remember about the Hawkins game at Kansas. Him coming off the field and the hometown broadcast like, "Dan, what are you guys doing?" Okay. And then, so that's the 11 that are in the books. The last one is Stanford. And the reason that's not in the books is because Stanford is currently 7-4, and they were projected with a over-under of 8 before the season.
So they could push then if they...
So I said push, and you said you can't do that. I said, okay, fine, I'll take the under. And mostly that was because of their schedule. They had a really hard schedule. I didn't think Bryce Love would struggle to the degree that he did, but
no.
They did have a tough schedule. So I took the under, which is still a possibility. You took the over, which is not a possibility, but you can get a push out of this.
All right. Well, we did okay.
You said, I don't know why over, except Shaw usually wins 9 games.
Not this year. I guess if they win a bowl, they could win 9, but overall, that wasn't as embarrassing as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, we would have about broken even in Las Vegas, so
yeah.
We'll take that. As long as we're looking ahead, where do you think we will be for the bowl game in about a month?
Well, so the committee rankings that came out last night were not especially kind to Washington State. Where were the Cougars? Like 13 or something?
I think they were, yeah, about 13. Yeah.
I think they dropped out of the top 12. So I guess, yeah, that might push the needle a little bit toward the Red Box Bowl. They would definitely have to be in the top 12 to get to the Fiesta Bowl. There probably will be some teams in front of them that lose this weekend, so they might still be able to get there. So a day ago before the rankings came out, I was feeling a little more toward the Holiday Bowl. Today, I might say a little bit more toward the Red Box.
Yeah, Washington State is 13. I think there's a chance UCF's 8, but they lost Mackenzie Milton, their quarterback, to a knee injury, and I don't know much about the backup, but I would assume if UCF were to lose in the American title game, they would definitely drop out of the top 13, yeah. And I'm guessing the Boise State-Fresno winner would actually go to the group of five representatives.
Yeah, so that's probably bad for Washington State then, because you've got a team from outside that top 12 taking one of those spots. So,
and then the other, I guess their only scenario to somehow get into the top 12 would be Washington is 11. If Utah beats Washington, would Washington State pass Penn State or an LSU to get up into that realm? I don't know.
Yeah, so it's not looking very good for them, it sounds like.
Despite that, John Wilner still has Oregon pegged for the Holiday Bowl. I guess it's up to the Holiday Bowl whether they want Oregon or Utah, and he seems to think they would love Oregon over Utah. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Especially, you know, if Washington wins the Pac-12 title game fairly convincingly, I think the Holiday Bowl could say, we like what we saw from Oregon last couple weeks of the season, and we want to have them back. We haven't had them in San Diego for a long time. Think the Ducks would travel better. I could see that scenario.
So some good news on the Justin Herbert front. His shoulder injury is not believed to be severe, and it looks like he will be available for the bowl game. Is there any chance that Justin Herbert would not play in a bowl game? I don't see that.
I would be stunned. I'd be really stunned. Even if he's leaning toward going pro, which we don't know, but even so, I would be really surprised if he sits out a bowl game. It's been no indication that is even a thought that has crossed his mind.
Well, I will be covering a Herbert on Saturday with no Oregon football game. I've been assigned to cover the Sheldon High team. They're playing in the 6A state championship this weekend, so that'll be interesting to see Patrick Herbert up close and personal and some other really good Sheldon players. And what have you got going on now that there's no Oregon football for a little while?
You know, I actually talked to Patrick Herbert last night. Do a column about their family and the Sheldon connection. We'll be getting into some Ducks basketball. That big loss to Texas Southern the other night has people scratching their heads a little bit. So some interesting things to delve into there. And that women's basketball team, they may be the biggest draw on campus this winter, because Duck men have some things to figure out. Duck women are clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, Kelly Graves' over-under should be about 32, and I might take the over. Yeah. So, they may not lose many games this year. So, anyway, catch up with all of the happenings with the Oregon Ducks at our new website, Oregon Duck. What's our new website?
Duck Sports.
DuckSports.com.
.com.
And as well as RegisterGuard.com for everything else. So, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Duck Pod. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts.